Last week we started a series here from what Jesus said was the foremost commandment of all, to love. And here in Mark chapter 12, in verse 28, we pick it up. And let's just read the text again. It says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all, or the foremost commandment of all? Jesus said, answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you spoke the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So when Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared question him." Well, they were questioning Jesus before this. They had many questions for him. The Pharisees took their shot first at him. They failed with his wisdom that he spoke with. So the Sadducees came and gave him their piece, and he twisted them up with some just biblical, literal interpretation of a Bible passage from the book of Exodus. And then the scribe says, well, he's pretty good. He answered well. He perceived that these things were good, so he gave his shot there at Jesus. Not so much questioning him on his authority or on the reason why. He just wanted to see where he was. What's the foremost? What's the principal thing? What's the most important thing? You know, it's a good question to ask people. What's it really all about? In your view, in your perspective, what is life really all about? What is the Bible really, the scribe's asking? The scribe, you know, he's a scholar. He's asking, what's the Bible really all about? Sum it up for me. Give me a summary of Scripture. And Jesus answered him and said, well, first of all, it's to love. And that love begins with God. And secondly, man. Brothers and sisters, I mean, we live in a world that screams love. Love, love, love. And that's what we all need. We need love and harmony and unity, and, you know, we need to love one another. But it's not a world that screams, love God. Love God. The first and foremost commandment of all. The chief principle of life is God. No, not at all. If anything, it's love your neighbor as yourself. Problem is most people, the love for themselves is not a love birthed from God. And so it's a selfish love. And today there's great compromise in the world on the truth of God, great compromise in the church in the name of love. Jesus comes forth and he gives us something that is so vital for our lives. Last week we looked at this. We looked at verses 29 and starting into verse 30. We got through the phrase, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Well, I say we got through it. We got halfway through that phrase. So this is part two of loving God with all your heart. Love. Love God. I think it's so easy today to be a loving person, but not a lover of God. Be a nice, kind person, but not one that passionately pursues God. I'm talking about being in love with God. That's what we want to talk about this morning. We are a blessed people. We have got the Word of God right now just telling us. We have Jesus Christ's words speaking into our lives saying, here's what it's about. And so we pause and we take time to dissect this passage of Scripture. To love God with all our hearts. Last week, we looked at the word heart. We saw what heart was. What is the heart? And what is it capable of doing? And we look, the heart is the center of human life. That's what we determined. And again, we looked at it from the Bible of what it is. And again, I'm not going to go through all the verses again. I encourage you to pick up the study from last week if you don't have the study or weren't with us for that study. But I'll go through the points we hit. We hit the heart is the center of human life. We saw that the heart is hidden from man, but clearly seen by God. Tons of verses on that. The heart can be happy, and the heart can be sad. Several verses on that. The heart can be filled with anxiety. The heart can be filled with contentment and rest and a peacefulness. And then we started to go a little deeper. And we saw that the heart can be hardened. And there was a warning given against the hardening of our hearts from the Scriptures. The heart can resist God. We saw that we can resist the Lord. Oh, now I think that's the one that I really want to drive home. It's so easy as a Christian to resist the voice of the Lord. It's called hardening your heart. It's two ways of saying the same thing. Scriptures are real clear on it. We saw that things can be placed into our heart. Like Satan can put things into the heart. That was one that I think kind of maybe got my attention. Can Satan put things in your heart? Well, according to John chapter 13, verse 2, yes. And he put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. But on the flip side, God can place things into our hearts. We saw that He writes His law upon our hearts in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Jeremiah. We saw that it's the heart that believes. Not just the mind, but the heart. We saw it's the heart that trusts the Lord, that relies, that depends. So it's a very vital part of who we are spiritually. Again, we saw that the heart in the Bible isn't the physical heart that pumps blood. The heart is the very core of who we are. And we see that Jesus says to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And like I said, I think it starts from, Jesus starts from the very core of man and goes starting there and moving outward, ultimately getting to our strength, our very actions and the things we do and the very physical strength that we might have to serve Him and to love Him with, to love the Lord your God. Basically, obviously, Jesus here is saying love God in your whole being, completely. And we're breaking it down here to looking at the heart this morning once again. Today I want to talk about responding to the Lord in the heart. We touched it a little. When God speaks, when God convicts, when God draws, when God lays things, when God places things in our hearts, what is our heart response? I think it's interesting. We're going to see a lot of hearts in the next week, aren't we? Valentine's Day is here and it's heart time. We're going to give each other heart cards and heart candies and a lot of hearts are going to flow. My kids already got hearts all over the place, you know, drawing hearts and, you know, we have sweethearts. And if you got a sweetheart, you better be sweet to your sweetheart. And guys, remember Tuesday, do something, okay? Just a little word from your pastor. There's a lot of talk of hearts and you know, a relationship and loving one another and obviously between marriages and relationships of between a man and a woman. And you know, you think because the Scriptures make clear that God ultimately is the perfect image for a godly relationship and truly loving one another is the relationship between Christ and His church. God is called in the Old Testament Israel's husband. And whether you like it or not, guys, the Lord is your husband. You know, you guys that wear cowboy boots might struggle with that a little more, but God is our husband. And we need to understand that and respond today in this sovereignly by God, we're just right here and, you know, Valentine's Day is just a few days away. And, you know, I was thinking, what would my sweetheart say to me if I asked her on Valentine's Day, okay, honey, what is the best way I could show you that I love you? And I was thinking through this. I've done, obviously, a lot of marriage counseling as a pastor, seen a lot of couples, a lot of marriages, done a ton of premarital counseling, seen the starry eyes and the love before they get married, and then, you know, work with them after they get married on the reality of life. But you know, what is the cry? Now, obviously, I usually hear the women, they tend to use more words than the men. And that's one of their complaints, both the men and the women. The men are, they use too many words. The women is, he doesn't say anything. He's like a dead, log standing before me. What is the cry of most wives? What would it be? I asked my wife last night this, I think that if I was a lot, everyone has different opinions and would say different things, and there are different situations and different personalities. And, even in some relationships, it's the woman that doesn't say a lot and the guy does. Every now and then you come across that too. But I think most of all, the thing that I've heard and the thing that I see is a great need is, sweetheart, if you would just spend time with me, I'd like that. I'd really like that. That would be really a good thing. We live in a time and day where it's consuming our time. You think with all the technology we have and all of the things that we have, we'd have more time. But you find the more technology you have, the more convenience you have, the less time you actually have, because you got to do all these things. And, you can just do more, so you fit more in and do more. And 50 years ago, people seemed to have more time for each other and certainly for God. I don't find today a lot of the writings that are coming out in the church to be as deep as the ones that came out 50 years ago, because men sought the face of God in a different way. And I want to call us to attention to that this morning, and hopefully call us back to that, or call us deeper in that of spending time with the Lord. I know as we spend time with each other, maybe sweetheart would say, honey, when we spend time together, I'd like you to be there wholeheartedly, fully, completely. Meaning not that you just are, I've penciled you in, babe, my schedule. But you're actually there. You want to be there. You're excited to be there. You're all ears. You listen, you engage, you think, you take in and you respond. I think for some of us, we've penciled God in our schedule. Those of us that are diligent Christians, seek the Lord, get in the Word of God. And I think that's so important. And I think that we live in a time and day, you got to pencil the Lord in. That quiet time, that prayer time. And I think Paul did the same thing. He says, when I pray, it would seem that Paul followed a pattern of the Jewish style of prayer, which is they would pray at least two times a day. And it seems to me that Paul followed that in his ministry. And he would do that. And he would schedule, if you would, that prayer time in, that time in the Word. But even when we do that, are we there engaged? Are you wandering in your mind? You know how it is. I sit down with my wife and I got something on my mind. And we go out to dinner and she's talking to a dead man. Some dude that's not there. Yeah, oh yeah, honey. Uh-huh. Mm, yeah, sure. Yeah, right with you. You don't have a clue what she's saying. Distracted. And it's something that I find that is easy to do when you're with the Lord, isn't it? The Lord's not in front of you. The Lord isn't like my wife sitting across the table. I don't hear audible voices from the Lord. I'm spending time in prayer. Do you find that you're not engaged? Do you find that when you go to pray, your mind wanders? Do you find it wanders more in prayer than anywhere else? Do you find when you're reading the Word, you don't even know what you're reading? Not because you can't comprehend it, but because you're wandering your mind somewhere else. But you're doing your thing. You're in the Word. You're spending time with the Lord. God says, I want you to love me with all of your heart. Just like any one of our wives would want, or husbands would want today, just to say, I want all of you. I want to know you care and you want to be here and you love this place and I want to fellowship with you. I think on a different note, some of us would say loyalty. That's what I want. I want faithfulness, commitment. And certainly I think God, that the Lord wants that. I want to look at some verses and kind of hit those three points: spending time listening and loyalty. Let's look at, turn with me to Psalm 27, one of my favorite psalms in the Psalms. Psalm 27, it's known for verse 4 and other verses there. Verse 4 is certainly a powerful verse there in Psalm 27. Definitely speaks of intimacy. That's what we're talking about. Loving God with all of our hearts. Verse 4, let's just read it because it's there. One thing I desired of the Lord that I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Spending time with God. I want to just be there. That's what David says at the end of his life. That's where I want to dwell. That's where I want to be. I want to be there with You, God. I want to inquire of You. I want to behold Your beauty. Oh, hear the heart of this man that God said had a heart after God. Verse 7, let's pick it up there. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When You say, seek My face, my heart says to You, Your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, when I read verse 8, I don't know what it does to your heart, but to my heart, it calls me. Listen to what the psalmist says. When you say, seek My face, spend time with Me, come after Me, seek My face, how does my heart respond? Let me ask you today, how is your heart responding to God saying, I want to spend more time with You? I want all of you. I want to be the most important, most loved person, if we could say that, of God in the world. I'm it. Not your wife, not your husband, not your kids, not your job, not your possessions, not your ambitions, but God. First and foremost, love Me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you can love your neighbor as yourself. Then you can love your wife. Then you can love your kids. Then you can love the people, which is important and is the second, but it isn't the first. And I think some of us have it backwards. I think today the church has it backwards. I think if you look at the ministries of the church today, they're developed around people to people and not people to God. And I think both are needed, certainly. Jesus didn't say, and the second doesn't matter. In fact, the scribe didn't ask Him for the second. Jesus added it. He just said, what's the first? And Jesus said, but the second's like it. And I think when the first is there, the second flows. It really does. Church, this is a principle that God is giving to us so that we might know Him and walk with Him and love Him and enjoy the Lord. What does your heart say when God says, seek My face? Does your heart say? Do you hear that? Do you hear God say, come after Me, seek My face? I think you do. I think we do. I think for some of us, we've maybe hardened, resisted. I hate that, but just ignored. Come on. How many times, I go back, I read my journals, and they're pitiful. They're pitiful. I'm not much of a writer. The spelling's really pitiful. But besides that, they're pitiful because they're the same thing. God says, repent. And so I write and God speaks and I repent and I always date my journal. I put the time down and I put where I was. And it's interesting to me that 95% of my journal entries have happened in a prayer meeting. Or in a time of worship. Interesting, because God's got my attention and that's where He speaks. If God doesn't speak to me, let me ask you, do you go after God? Do you seek His face? And then when God speaks, I listen, I hear, but I don't heed. And I go back years in my journal. And for me, it could be one journal. It covers like 5 years. And it's the same thing over and over and over. Cycles. They're worded differently. They're in different situations. But it's the same core thing. God, I need to seek You. God, I need to walk with You. God, I need to draw near to You. Lord, I need to strengthen my prayer life. God, I need to trust You more. I need to... And all of us have certain things in our journals, if we do that, that you're going to find that are the same thing. And God is just saying, come on, come. Does my heart say, Your face I will seek? Man, that just screams to me. I just see this psalmist here, David, saying, Your face I will... Oh, You... I heard the Lord, and I'm responding. He says, one thing I desire, and that I will seek. I said it before, it needs to be said again. We desire God. We desire the things of God. But how do we respond to those desires? Do we say, and I will seek. I'm going to do it. I'm going after You. Oh, God, I am sure that every one of us here that have walked with God in any substantial way, which is most of us, I would assume, and knowing most of you, I know that you love God and walk with Him, that He has spoken so many things to you in your walk with Him. We could fill a truckload of papers written of what God has spoken to you. It's not a lack that God doesn't speak. It's a lack of what we do with what He speaks. And if you think He speaks the same thing over and over and doesn't ever speak anything new, it's because when you do that which He's spoken, you'll get something new. But God doesn't speak to speak. And I just pray we would hear His heart. This idea of whole heart, not half heart. We use that term in our language. Half-hearted. That was half-hearted, man. God isn't into a half-hearted walk with Him. Whole heart. Listen to what Psalm 119... a psalm. You want to meditate? You want a place to seek God? Go to Psalm 119 in your devotions. It's one chapter, the longest one in the Bible, about 170-some verses, I think it is. My son knows. I don't know. But it's long. He always tells me the longest chapter and tells me how many verses. He quizzes me. He wins a lot. Psalm 119, verse 2, listen to it. Simply seek Him with the whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 2. You know, I hear that and I don't know. I don't know what it does to you, but I'll tell you what it does to me. Seek Him with the whole heart. It calls me. It calls me. It moves me. Blessed is the man who keeps his testimony, who seeks Him with the whole heart. Listen, blessed is the man who seeks God with the whole heart. God wants to bless you. I can't say that enough. And many of us will never see the blessings of God because we won't take the first step of blessing, which is loving God with all of our hearts. That's what you need. God doesn't need you to love Him. God isn't going, if you don't love me, I need someone to love me. No one will love me. He's not like us. He's not in need of my love. I'm in need of loving Him. Oh, I'm so in need of it. I need to pour out my heart, pour out my soul. I need to seek God. It brings life and blessing to me. And I can't do it half-heartedly. It won't work. It won't. Verse 10, he says, with my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. There are more verses we could talk about that use the word whole heart. It's the same as all my heart. With everything in me, seek God. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, or chapter 4, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. It says this, But from there, speaking of the promised land, God is giving the children of Israel a word as they go in. From there, you will seek the Lord your God. And you will find Him if, there's the clause, you seek Him with all your heart. From there, you will seek the Lord your God, or you'll and you'll find God. Listen, if you seek God, you will find God. Do not listen to the lie of your flesh, of the devil, of your experiences, and of your unbelief that says if you seek God, He won't meet you. Yes, He will. I can guarantee it. The Word of God promises it. Now, there are some conditions. You need to seek God with faith. He will meet you on His terms, not yours. But He will meet you. He might meet you with conviction, not the blessed word for the moment. But He will meet you. And He will love you. And He will shape you. And He will change you. And He will do His work in you. And you will be blessed. I can promise you that. Seek Him with the whole heart. And don't stop. Jesus, He defined the word seek for us in Luke 11. And His definition was that you seek with relentless consistency and persistency. You never quit. The word seek in the Greek is keep on seeking. It's not seek me for 5 minutes, and if I don't meet you the way you want me to meet you and speak to you or give you a warm, fuzzy feeling and, you know, move you emotionally and bring you to tears, then, hey, it doesn't work, and other Christians, you know, hear God, but you don't. No, you seek God, and you seek Him some more, and you keep seeking God, and you go after God because He's your everything. He's your all, because you love Him more than anything in this world, and you go to the point of searching for God. We all know the passage in Jeremiah 29:11, don't we? For I know the thought, my kids, if I ask Isaac, my son, give me a Bible verse, he'll immediately, first one, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, and he'll say it like that. Thoughts of peace and not to be able to give you future and hope. And we know that passage. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And what a great passage that is. Do you know what the next verse says? Verse 12 and 13? Oh, they're good. Let me read them to you. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Did you hear that? I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. Here's the clause. When you search for me with all your heart. Oh, it's beautiful. You know, when I read it, I smile. You know why I smile? You know why I say it's beautiful? Because I know it. I know it. I've tasted it. I live it. It's the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It's God's presence. It's God meeting. Listen, God is easy to live with. God is easy to seek. God is easy to walk with. And when you know what the Lord has done for you at Calvary, when you understand that you can enter in boldly to the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus, you just go. You just go. I don't care what you've done or where you've been or how good you think you are or bad. Ultimately, you're broken and carnal, and He loves you, and He's going to sanctify you and change you. And just, you just go. You just go where it's safe. And that's where it's safe. You go where no one can see but God can see. And you take your little heart and you just go to God. And you seek Him. And when you seek Him and you taste Him, you want more of Him. And when you taste some more, you want more. That's why the psalmist could say in Psalm 63 that he lives in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, and he will seek Him earnestly in that land. He says, I go to the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. There's confidence there. He knows that if he goes to the sanctuary, which represented in his day in the Old Testament, the presence of God, if I go to the presence of God, I will see the power and the glory of God. He says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you as long as I live. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. I lift my hands in your name. I will meditate on my bed in the night watch. And he says, my soul follows hard after you, Lord. This is a man who's tasted. This is a man who says, you know, it's dry, it's thirsty here, the land is parched, there's no spiritual life here, but I will go to God. And I will find help. And I will find his power and his glory. Because I know his loving kindness, it's better than life. You take my life, but you can't take God from me. That's the strength of the Apostle Paul. When he said, nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. That's the strength of the martyrs throughout church history who stood and shared the gospel with their persecutors. I know the movie Into the Spear is out, and we're reminded again of the great faith in these great men that walked close to God and said, you know what, we could kill these guys, but we're going to go to heaven and they're not, so let them kill us. They really tasted of God. There's a reality there. It's not something made up in some fairy tale or someone's mind or some neat thing to stir people up emotionally, whip them into a frenzy. It is God and it is who He is and it is His presence and it's yours. And it's mine. If we're going to search for Him with all of our heart. Search. You know, it's something that the word search, it just causes my mind to think of search for me with all of your heart. What search? Search for God. You know, when I lose something and I search, when I'm searching for something, I mean, I'm searching. You know, if I told you right now, there is a $3 million check in this room. And everyone's going to leave today. We're going to leave you in here for 2 hours. And I'm telling you, before God Almighty, it's in this room. And it's findable. And you can do whatever you want to this room. You can tear the chairs apart. We'll give you, you know, you could rip the walls down. You find it, it's yours. It's yours for the taking, man. Just have a glorious time. We're leaving. You think you'd just sit there? Or do you think you would search? Like, really search? You guys, you ever lost your keys? I know you have. And, you know, you're late somewhere and you need your keys and you're doing what? You are frantically searching. I mean, you don't care about anything else. You don't care if there's a terrorist attack right now. You got to find your key. You're searching for what you need. There is just a drive in you to find that which you want. And I ask, and the Word of God uses this, and not just here, but this idea of searching God's Word, searching like for hidden treasure, searching it because it's more precious than gold that perishes, searching. That's the kind of response our hearts should have. When you say, seek my face, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And I will search for you and I will find you because you're not hidden. Because you found me. Because you came and rescued me. Because of the cross of Jesus. But the word search is used. The word seek is used to identify the passion, the commitment, the fervency that we ought to search for God. You know, I got to be honest, we come to God, and I do, just apathetically, half-heartedly. Okay, God, here I am. I'll read it. You start reading. It's just half-hearted. Speak, your servant hears. No, he doesn't. You're not believing. Oh, that is, I think, the most important thing, that we believe that God will be faithful to His Word. And His Word says, you enter in boldly by the throne of grace. You have access. His word says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. His word says, search and you will find. If you seek for me with all of your heart. Listen, you come wholeheartedly. With the whole heart I have sought you. And I have found you. Realize in Psalm 119, the psalmist is in a great trial. It's not a happy day. Sunshine, things are going great. He's in a trial and he is seeking God. And he's believing in God. And God is meeting him. Spend time with the Lord. The rest will be history. He'll grab a hold of you and take you right where he wants you. You will meet with the living God of the universe and realize why it's more important to love him than anything else in this world. Love God with all your heart because it's a joy. It's a joy. It's a glorious thing. And as you love God and as you seek God to hear God. And when you hear God, you must hear God's word. You are not hearing God if you're not hearing God's word. To hear God's word, you've got to be in God's word. And you've got to hide God's word in your heart. To listen. Not half-hearted. Okay, God, I'm here. But listen. Brothers and sisters, there is no more important study that you can do in this world than to study the word of God. This is living forever and ever. Amen. Though heaven and earth pass away, my word shall never pass away. This is it. This is what matters right here, is the word of the living God. I cannot stress it, encourage you, press it enough. This is all you need. It's got every answer for you. I want to challenge you this week to read Psalm 119. And I want to ask you, can you walk away from Psalm 119? If you've got a heart after God, you're going to seek him with a whole heart, and you will not walk away saying, oh, I don't need the word. You will walk away saying, it's got all my answers. I think of a few verses in Psalm 119. Let me read them to you. Verse 24. Your testimony also is my delight and my counselors. You need counsel? Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and you shall be like a tree planted firmly by the rivers of water, which will bear fruit in its season, whose leaves will never wither, and in everything you do, it will prosper. That's what the Word of God says. Delight. My delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law I meditate day and night. You see, what delight does, delight draws you near and brings you in and causes you to contemplate and meditate and worship. It's what it does. Look at verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I will rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I meditate on your precepts and contemplate your paths. I delight myself in your statutes. I do not forget your word. That's just a few verses out of this glorious psalm. Delight. I'm going to put that word right where? In my heart. That I'll do what? That I won't sin against you. Keep me, God. Protect me, God. Look at verse 34 with me. Let's start at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, that I should keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. You hear that? Lord, I will take heed. I will observe it with my whole heart. Let's just keep reading. It's so good. Make me walk in your path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. He's saying, God, help me. He's not saying I'm perfect. I'm this incredible person that just longs for God's word. And every time I hear it, I just take heed to it. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. Turn away my eyes, verse 37, from looking at worthless things. And revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Amazing. Revival comes from taking heed to the word of God. Look at verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Oh man, as God starts stirring, and as we do more than read the Bible, but we take the Bible and place it in our heart. I'm going to hide your word in my heart that I won't sin against you. I'm going to ask you to teach me your laws, to teach me your precepts. Look at verse 17. Deal bountiful with your servant that I might live and keep your word. Let me live so I can keep your word. How many of us really pray that? God, spare my life so I can glorify your name. Look at this, verse 18. Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things from your law. I'm a stranger on the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Whoa. I mean, I read this and go, Lord, help me be like that. Give me that heart. And I believe that heart comes because the word is hidden in that heart. My soul, it says, my soul breaks, is crushed with longing for your judgments at all times. How thirsty are we for God's word? Jeremiah 15, 16, I believe it is. I found your word and ate it. And listen, and it was to me, the word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O God of hosts. I found your word and I devoured it. And it was what to my heart? The joy and the rejoicing. You sad today? You're in a trial today? Your heart's broken today? God is your help. And He's the only one that can help you. Counselors probably can't help you. They can point you to the Lord. You got a trial today? God knows. And God understands. People say, yeah, I know what you're going through. I understand. And you're thinking, you might, you know, got a clue. You might be right. God knows. God knows. God gave His Son on the cross and He exercised wrath upon Him. He poured it out on Him. God knows more than you could ever know. He did it because He loves you. You might not understand what's going on today in your life. You might not even understand why God's allowing it. But understand this, God knows. And understand this, He demonstrated His love for you that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. He knows, and He loves you. And today, and this is the beautiful thing about being a Christian. It's such a wonderful thing to be a Christian. God loves me, and I can love Him. And it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Those two things are absolutes. I can love God right now. I can choose to love God right now and know that God loves me right now. And He's going to see me through. And there is one on this in this world, in my life, that I can pour out my soul to. And He hears and listens and loves and cares and acts according to His will. And I can rejoice in that. And I can find security there. The psalm here is filled with these kinds of truths. It is so good. Even this, listen to this. The man's going through great, great pain. In verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Verse 71, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and in faithfulness, listen to that, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Just the absolute beauty of this. Listen to verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. The Word of God is everything to the Christian. Turn with me to Psalm 19. easy to remember, Psalm 119 and Psalm 19. And I want you to just, I want just the Word of God to wash you this morning. And just fill you with truth. Listen to this. Verse 7. This is God's Word, okay? This is what it's going to do for you. Is God going to bless you? Absolutely. Take up His Word and eat it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word is restoring the soul. He restores my soul for His name's sake and leads me in paths of righteousness. We know that great psalm. The law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. Restoring the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know how many of us are simpletons and need to be wise? How many of us, when it comes to spiritual things, are ignorant and need to be wise? You know what's going to make you wise? The Word of God. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. Right here. And I'm telling you, it is about seeking God and about drawing near to God and about opening the Word of God and about coming before God. It's not about just knowledge about the Bible. It's about seeking Him with the whole heart. It's about taking His Word and hiding it in your heart that it might change you and deal with you. The statutes, verse 8, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Yes, they do. The commandments of the Lord are pure. Or the word is radiant. They shine. Illuminating the eyes. Oh, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things from your law. We already read that in Psalm 119, verse 17 there. Open my eyes or illuminate my eyes. God, show me. I don't see it. I'm not getting it. I read it. It's nothing. It's a heart. It needs a heart. It needs more than a mind. It needs a heart. It needs a whole being. It needs a body, soul, spirit, mind. The fear of the Lord is clean. Or the word is pure. And it purifies, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord will make you wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of true biblical knowledge. The judgments of the Lord are, I love this, true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You got to understand, in the psalmist's day, there, you know, there's David. He's fleeing for his life from Saul. He's living in the Judean wilderness, which is a desert. He doesn't have a Snickers bar available. He doesn't have a Slurpee. You got to understand, he has got nothing that he eats that has any sugar, any kind of sweetness, any kind of taste. And he comes along a honeycomb. He finds a beehive. And don't kid yourself, he's going to get in that beehive. And we see it in the Bible, them sticking the staff, Jonathan, into the beehive. Into the honey. And they pull it out. And it is just like the sweetest. And you ladies understand that love chocolate. I think I've met 5 women in my life that don't like chocolate. I've been doing a survey. I'm still going. I've got 5. But that just love. You just like crave. And think about what the song. The Word of God is like that. When you've got nothing. I don't know. You know, I'm sitting there in the bush in Africa. They don't even have ice. I mean, I'm drinking warm Coke. And I'm drinking the Coke because it's got some sweetness, but it's warm. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm an American. We like ice. We like cold things, especially when it's hot. And I get out of the bush, and the first thing I do, and I'm not kidding you, I absolutely, with everything in me, despise McDonald's. McDonald's has got to be the most phallus place that I can eat. And I go right to a McDonald's when I get into Heathrow in London. Right to McDonald's. Food! Real food! That's how sick I become in the bush. And when I read this and understand somewhat of the culture, and I've been to Israel several times and understand the landscape, more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. I love, I just thirst. I'm just so
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's the way he could describe it in his language and his time to be the best and most wonderful thing he could ever think about. The greatest dessert. I mean, you just crave it. You love it. It's your favorite. It's what you want for Valentine's Day. It's everything. And that's what he says about the Word of God. Oh, it's just so good. It's not, oh man, it's a burden, man. It's hard. It's a lot of work, you know. It's so, so life-giving. Watch this. Boy, I need this. Moreover, by them, verse 11, your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Your servant is warned. Lord, this heart needs to be warned. Warn me, O God. Warn me. Warn me of my wicked way that I can't see. Warn me. Brothers and sisters, we will be spared from so much if we would come to God and say, that's all I want. I want to love you more than anything else. I want to love you with all my heart. I want to seek you with all my soul. You're everything. Warn me. And open the Word and just say, God, here we are. You see it all. It's nothing hidden from your sight. Warn your servant today. Because in keeping your word and heeding your warnings, there is great reward. And oh, there is. There is great blessing in righteousness. Who can understand his error? I can't, but God does, and God warns. Clean me from secret faults. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. As the word comes, there's just warnings. Listen to the warnings God's given you. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't harden your heart as they did in the day of rebellion. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous or willful sin. Let them not have dominion over me, and they will have dominion over you. Listen to this last phrase in verse 13. That I should be blameless and should be innocent of great transgression. And I want to weep right there. You know why I want to weep? Because I've seen so many people reject the warnings of God's Word. Reject the things the Spirit of God is telling them. And they are guilty of great transgression. Their life is destroyed today because of great transgression. And there we go too, but by the grace of God. Oh, so I want to learn. And I want what this man David had. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me, that I should be blameless. Oh, that when we stand before Him, that when we stand before one another, that we can be blameless before God. That we can be upright of heart. That I might be innocent of great transgression. Listen, transgression is at your door today. Satan is seeking to take you apart. And God's Word is your guard. God's Spirit, through His Word, is His voice saying, seek my face. Don't harden your heart. Don't do that. I'm warning you right now. That is going to kill you. Get away. And when you don't hear the warnings of God, or can I say, don't heed them, you will be a person that will be destroyed by your sin. And it will overcome you. And it will kill you. And you think you're bigger or tougher, you're going to find out how big God is and how right He is. And it's a scary place to be. And today, if you're in rebellion, this is a word from the Lord. And if you reject it, you're hardening your heart. And today, if you're a lover of God, this is a word from the Lord for you to wrap your arms around and embrace and draw near with everything in you. And I might get all passionate and emotional. That's because I've seen a lot. Probably a lot more than you've seen. And I'm pleading with you today. By the grace of God, take heed to the Word of God. This is where my heart should be. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Brothers and sisters, is your heart right in the sight of God? That's the question. There was one more point, and it was loyalty. Let me just read a few verses. We'll close in prayer. Loyalty, something that all of us desire in love and relationship. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Write that verse down. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. Boy, it's a good one. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Listen, God wants to come on your behalf and show Himself strong. God is so for us. So with us. Get some vision. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled with the Word of God. Get filled with faith. Seek God. Go after God. Love God with all your heart. And watch what God will do. Because His eyes right now are running to and fro across this earth, in this room. Saying, now He's not looking at the man, the woman. He's not looking at the giftings, the qualifications. He is looking at your heart. His eyes are running to and fro, searching for anyone's heart. He sees right through it all. Heart who is loyal to Him. Loyalty to God. The Message translates it this way, or paraphrases it, I should say. God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to Him. Totally committed. We use that word. Totally committed. Some Hebrew scholars, Kill and Dillage, translate it this way, this verse. For Jehovah, His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong with those whose heart is devoted to Him. Total commitment. Totally sold out. Totally devoted to God. Like the very basic foundation of any marital relationship is loyalty. Is loyalty. And the very foundation to your relationship in loving God with all your heart is from your heart there is loyalty. And when there is, God says, and on your behalf I'm going to be strong. I'm going to come. And I'm looking right now for who I can be strong on behalf of. Who I can use for my glory. Who I can pour out my spirit through. Who I can shine through. My eyes are running to and fro across this whole earth to do that. Concerning loyalty, James says in his epistle, he says there in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Very clear, the Word of God speaks to you and I, to our hearts, saying, choose between the world and God. You can't have both. Who do you love? Do you love the world? Do you love your sin? Or do you hate your sin and you love God? Because when you make yourself in a commitment and relationship as friendship with the world, you've made yourself an enemy of God. Oh, that's heavy. And the passage goes on to say that the Spirit yearns jealously for us. What I believe that's saying is that God is saying, I want all of you. All of you. God isn't settled with, you know what? I'm thankful that you're at church today and that you read the Bible and that you seek me at times and you even share the gospel and you know you've done a missions trip and you know you've done that and hey, God's talking right to me. He's talking to our leadership. He's talking to all of us. And He's saying, I don't care what you've done, I don't care who you think you are, I want all of your heart. You don't share me. You don't commit spiritual adultery with the world every now and then. That doesn't flow. You know, that wouldn't flow in my relationship with my wife. Wouldn't be a good thing. Just every now and then I'm going to go out with another gal. That would not be okay. Why do we think God should think it's okay? Wouldn't be okay for you if your mate did that. You wouldn't be excited. You wouldn't go, oh, no problem. So why is it that God shouldn't ask for all of us? He certainly should. If He doesn't, I don't think He really loves me. He wants all of me. That's right. Give Him all your heart. Respond to Him. Seek Him. Let Him live and breathe life, His life, into your life. It is easy to walk with Jesus. It is hard to live with myself. It is. It's easy to walk with Jesus. You say, it's hard to walk with God. No, actually, it's you that's hard to walk with. God is simple. God is easy. God is loving. God is forgiving. God is gracious. God is here to restore you right now today. It isn't hard. Your flesh is hard. And as you love Him, you're going to watch your flesh will not be strong. And as you pour out your heart and as you seek after Him, you're going to find out He's everything. You and I, we need revival. There's no doubt in my mind. And I know this about my God. He's got it for us. And He wants it. And He's just saying, just seek me. Just search for me with all your heart. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart. And find out who He is. And you will be in love with Him. And the rest of the commandments, well, they'll flow. For this is the purpose of them. Paul says, it sums it up here, 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the purpose of the commandments is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. And I'll tell you what, you love God with all your heart, you're going to have a pure heart. Purpose of the commandments is to love from a pure heart, love from a sincere faith, and love from a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5. Brothers and sisters, come, let us love God together. Let us enjoy the Lord. And let us experience the blessings of drawing near and seeking Him. Can I challenge you that this week it would be a week that you would give your soul to God, that you would give your heart once again to God, that you would just say, Lord, I need revival. Lord, I need to just simply, as we looked at here, I need to simply spend time with You, listen to You, and be loyal to You. So God, here I am. I'm here to just give You myself once again. And again, and again, and again. And begin to draw near. And I'm telling you, for those of you that never have, or those of you that have, there comes a point where you'll break through just the norm. The norm of Bible reading, the norm of prayer. And you will break through to the face of God. And when you do, you'll never be satisfied with anything else again. For those of you that know what I'm talking about, that have, you're not satisfied today unless you're there again. Go there. Hey, access is wide open. For those of you who never have, I'm inviting you to come with us. We're not more spiritual. We're not better. We just happen to have broken through by the grace of God, just to the presence of God. And it's usually in the place of prayer. It's a place of worship. It's a place of the Word. It's a place where no one sees. It's a place called your heart. And it's there. He wants to be on the throne. And I pray He is. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, God, for Yourself, for Your grace, for the ability that You've given to us to seek You, for the responsibility You've laid, Lord, before us to follow You, to obey You. God, we want to thank You. I want to thank You, Lord, with everything in me, for Your Word that is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, that warns me from great transgression, keeps me close to You. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. And can we fill our hearts, Lord, with it this week? Help us. We don't even know where to go sometimes. Help us to see you, Lord. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Touch your people, I pray. Fill them, God, with yourself, I ask. And make them to know, God, you, deeper and deeper and deeper this week. Revive them. Open your word. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Show us, God, where we're giving ourselves to the world where we don't see it. Show us. And God, every time we see a heart this week, let us remember our heart that ought to be panting for you. Remind us, God, please. And it's in Jesus' name.